Well, good morning.
Morning.
So glad that you're in the Lord's house this morning, or maybe in the parking lot, or listening later on the website. But it's a good day to be in the Lord's house. A little colder this morning than we might have liked, but it's good and warm in here, and the presence of the Lord will bless us, because you know He's always here, because we invite Him. We make Him welcome. And we pray that you make Him welcome in your own heart. As the psalmist say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
You know, a lot of folks that would like to be able to get out of bed this morning, but they're somewhere stuck in a hospital bed or a nursing home bed. And you're able to get up and be here. That's a blessing. That is a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, we just worship you and praise you and honor you and glorify you. For you alone are God and there is no other. Oh, Father, we thank you that you're greater than any pretend God. And Father, we pray that we have a heart to love you with all of our being. Father, help us to share you and the plan of salvation with those who are struggling to find a way to heaven. Father, today we pray your anointing upon this service. Lord, that you'll just speak to each person that's here, whether they're in here and physically in the building or in the parking lot, or whether they're listening later on the website. Lord, we want to hear your voice. Not just my voice, but your voice. And Father, bring honor and glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. If you would, please, let's have our hymn sing this morning, as we normally would. This is page 411. It's up on the board for you as well. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and indeed it is. Everybody stand, and we'll sing all four verses together this morning.
Trust in Jesus.
welcome someone this morning. All right, I have some announcements for you this morning I want to share with you. We are going to continue on as planned each week, and we're not going to make any changes as far as our schedule and worship and Sunday school, so just come as you've been coming, and you'll be just right. So we'll leave it at that. Prayer, let's don't remember our prayer and Bible study on Wednesday night at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. We need you to come and be part of that. Got a church work day, Rita. Did you want to talk about that any at all, about this? Church work day is Saturday, April the 2nd.
Well, we'd just like for as many people to come out, bring a paintbrush. We're going to be doing some painting and cleaning and sanding and whatever. So.
Okay. All right. So be here and let's work together here. Okay. Then I want to give you up to date. So far, we've collected $370 total gift from Annie Armstrong so far for the Easter offering for home missions. Also, NC Baptist Children's Home, we've got a list down front, so if you need to know what to bring, there it is. This is what they're asking us to do, non-perishable items, of course, and just bring it. And like I say, you pick your list up down front, and the children's food drive is in progress now, and you can bring your foods or make it a financial gift by May the 1st. May the 1st, okay? Now, our Easter schedule, I got it out. Easter schedule is Maundy Thursday. We'll do our Maundy Thursday as we normally do. On a Thursday night, April the 14th, and observing the Lord's Supper. Then we'll begin on Easter Sunday morning at 6:45 with Easter sunrise service at 6:45. Breakfast at 7, and Tony, that's a full breakfast. And amen. And then we'll have our morning worship service at 8 o'clock. Are there any questions, anything anybody needs to add on announcements? I do have something I need to add to our announcements this morning. Is Mr. Heath Hahn is now at the Pruitt Living Center, 6300 Roberta. It's in your bulletin this morning. I think, Brenda, you've got the bulletins out somehow to us. You just printed a couple. Okay. Well, then it'll be in the next Sunday's address then. But anyway, 6300 Roberta Road, Harrisburg. So if you get to Pruitt and you go to Harrisburg, you'll be able to find him, okay. And Lila, I understand the visitors are permitted at times. If we get,
is it
8 to 8? Okay. So, and Heath, I want to say Heath is well. He's got some roads to go get for his rehab to be back to where he needs to be. So, y'all pray for Heath Hahn this morning, and we'll get into that in a little bit in prayer time. All right. Any further announcements? Okay. All right. Then let's do go and let's talk about our prayer list this morning that we have thus far. And as I just said, we have Heath Hahn on the prayer list and the family. Let's remember the caregivers. And it's not just Lionel. Lionel is a big part of it, but family members are involved also. And so let's remember all the family members there as well. And remember Miss Kitty. And she's by herself now. Well, not by herself, but when it comes to without Heath, he's not there. So let's keep that family. Let's remember Janice Crisco, Kenny's sister. Let's remember she's having surgery. Kenny, next Thursday. Okay. And Brian Burgess, I have him, put him back on the prayer list. I understand hospice has been called in for Brian. And so let's keep that family also and Brian in our prayers as well. All right. Are there others this morning that we need to remember? Yes, Lori. Fires. Okay. Anywhere else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity. You've given us another Lord's Day. And Lord, we are so thankful for the Lord's days that you give us, that we may come together and we may assemble ourselves together. Lord, we pray for those who prioritize their time this morning to be here in the sanctuary. But Lord, there are those, and maybe in the parking lot this morning, and those that will be listening on the web. We thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness. And Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them. And Lord, as we go forward and remember the Easter season is coming, Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for Easter time and remembrance, Lord, of what you gave to us. And Lord, that you're alive. We serve a living Savior. And Lord, we're so thankful. We're so thankful. But then, Lord, we want to remember those now who've been we've been asked to pray for. We want to lift up Heath Hahn and the family as they're going through a time of convalescing, a time of rehab, and we pray for them at this time, Lord. We pray for Janice Crisco as her surgery is next week. We lift her up in prayer this morning. Brian Burgess, Lord, as he is battling, Lord, we pray, Lord, for him, and Lord, that you'll comfort him, comfort the family. And Lord, we pray for your will to be done there. And Lord, as Lori has asked for Colorado fires and the fires that are destroying property, Lord, we pray for all those who are in that fire's path. We pray for the firefighters that are on the ground working with it as well. Lord, we ask your blessings there. And now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, we thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We ask a special blessing upon him as we continue, Lord, to go forward in the service today. And we thank you, Lord, for opportunities that we have to worship your name. And now, Lord, we pray in your sweet name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We're going to be have our praise music this morning. And before we start the video, I want to read some scripture and that I think ties right in with it. And as you can see, we'll have a potter's wheel on this video today. But anyway, this is in Jeremiah 18. This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaped it, and seemed best to him as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, can I not do this with you, Israel? Thank God he can. And aren't you glad that he didn't throw the clay away? And aren't you glad that he forgives us today? We're going to sing this morning together. I want you to stand with me if we sing, Change My Heart, O Lord. Watch that wheel this morning. It tells the story. I don't hear it.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart, O God.
Thank you. May be seen.
Amen.
All right, kiddos. Children, you are dismissed. Thank you, Jeff.
You know, people that can do that kind of craft are just fantastic. Yeah. Now, if I'd have made it, it'd have been lopsided.
You watch him as he changed it, though. Yeah. The first time
he
changed the
time. Yeah. It's just amazing. You know, it's about 3 or 4 weeks till Easter. If you want to have a practice breakfast between now and then, Tony and I'll be sure to show up. And between now and Easter, I want to talk about the crucifixion. But I want to do something that I don't remember ever doing before. I want us to look at the crucifixion in the Old Testament. There's probably as much or more in the Old Testament about the crucifixion, things that picture the crucifixion, as there are in the New. In fact, there's some things in the Old Testament that helps us to understand better some of the things that took place there on the cross. And so this morning, I want us to look at one of the passages that helps us to get a little picture of the crucifixion. And we're going to do this in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And we'll start reading in Exodus chapter 12, the very first verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs and with the appurtenance thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it shall, in the morning shall be burnt with fire. And then thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be for you for a token upon the house wherein you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Now, there's so many lessons right there in those 14 verses. And we'll coordinate some of those with some verses in the New Testament as we go along. But notice, it says the lamb had to be chosen. They were to go into the flock and choose. It wasn't just to, you know, open the gate and see the first one that came running out. It was to be a special choice. And they, notice it said it had to be a lamb or a goat, a sheep or a goat. It couldn't be a cat, it couldn't be a dog, couldn't be a camel, couldn't be something else. It had to be a lamb out of the goats or the sheep. It was a special choice. Very interesting what 1 Peter tells us. In chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ was chosen before the foundation of the world to shed his blood. He wasn't a second thought. It wasn't after man sinned. And God said, messed up. Going to have to come up with plan B. Didn't realize man was going to sin. Now what am I going to do? Gabriel, Michael, rest of you archangels, come over here and help me decide what we're going to do. No. Before the foundation of the world, it says Christ was foreordained, chosen to be our Savior. Just like that little lamb was chosen, Christ was chosen to be our Savior. And forever, the lamb has been the symbol of Christ. You remember in the book of Revelation, who's worthy to open the seals? The Lamb. What are the redeemed and the angels singing? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and majesty. Worthy is the Lamb. All talking about Jesus, our Savior who died for our sin. The Lamb was specially chosen. Notice also in verse 5, the Lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You should take it from out of the sheep or from the goats. Jesus, the sinless, spotless, perfect Son of God and Son of Man. Jesus had no sin. You know, if he had been a sinner, he couldn't have died for us. That lamb had to be perfect. They couldn't go out there and say, well, you know, looks like this is about to die anyway. This one's got a broken leg. No, the lamb had to be perfect without spot or blemish. And the one that died on the cross for our sin was sinless. They couldn't accuse him of anything. They lied about some things. But they never, never, never caught Jesus in any sin. And therefore he was that spotless lamb that could die for our sins. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He took on our sin on the cross. Your sin and mine. Our sins he took. And the result is that through his death, we take on the righteousness of God. You know, that's a pretty good swap. I swap my sin for the righteousness of God. You swap your sin for the righteousness of God. All because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an amazing, amazing swap. I mean, can you imagine? You got an old junker car, it's about rusted out. Won't run, won't crank. And you drag it in down to the dealership and they give you a brand new Rolls Royce as an even swap. You don't pay any boot. An even swap. An old junker for a Rolls Royce. That's a pretty swap. And we swap our sinful life for the righteousness of God, because Jesus on the cross took on our sin. Amazing. Amazing how much the love of God offers you and me. Another thing that we see in this passage of Scripture, verses 6 and 7, and you should keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the upper side post and on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. The lamb had to die. Without the lamb dying, there was no blood. The lamb could be beautiful, chosen, perfect, but it had to die. And Jesus could come to the earth and teach marvelous truths, heal a lot of sick folks, thousands, raise the dead. And you know, in the Gospel of John, it says if we told everything that Jesus did, it'd take more books than the world could hold. He could do all of that and it still wouldn't have purchased your salvation. He could have lived to be 120 and kept right on doing miracles, right on teaching great revelations, and it still would not have got you into heaven. The Lamb had to die. What does the Scripture say? Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And you know, that blood had to be applied. That blood being applied was a choice. It says that they were to catch that blood in a basin when they kill that lamb. And then they would take some hyssop, I believe it was, dip it in that, put it up and down the side posts and across the top. That blood had to be applied. Now I do all kind of speculation from time to time. What if some wife said, "You're not putting that on my door"? That's going to draw flies. What if somebody said, "You know, I'll be the laughing stock of the community. Those Egyptians over there, they're going to crack up in laughter when they see that I've got blood all over my door." What if somebody had said, "I don't think I need the blood. I mean, I'm a good person. I don't beat my wife. I don't slap my kids around. I'm a hard worker. I just don't think I need it. Anybody that didn't apply the blood didn't stand a chance. Because the death angel was coming that night to take the firstborn. But the families that had applied the blood were safe. The blood had to be applied. Now, the scripture doesn't say this, and so I'm just speculating. I'm wondering why some of those Egyptians hadn't wised up by now. I mean, after 9 other plagues, you know, it's, we got frogs, but the Israelites don't have any frogs. We've got flies, but they don't have any flies. We have locusts, but they don't have locusts. We have hail, but they don't have hail. We have darkness, but they have light. Why didn't some of those Egyptians say, you know, maybe we better do like they did? But we, as far as we know, none of them did. The blood had to be applied for there to be salvation. And the blood has to be applied for our salvation. In the Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, it says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The blood applied to your life. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe in him. And you know that blood led to protection. Those death angels, or death angel passed over. Blood on this house. Leave them alone. No blood over here. Death. The blood was their protection. The death angel didn't look in and say, those folks aren't very much sinners. Or those folks are great sinners. All that mattered is their blood on the door. Now, somebody listening to me may have lived a pretty much perfect life. You were a great kid. The kind of kid that whenever you went to school, teachers loved you. You're a wonderful employee, a wonderful marriage partner. You still need the blood. Or you may have been one of those kids that the terrible twos turned into the terrible threes, the terrible fours, the terrible fives. You may have been the kid that the teacher says, I hope that they're in the other teacher's class this year, not mine. You may have spent more time in the principal's office than you did in the classroom. You may have been the kid that, as you got grown, that the police knew more about you. You were on a first-name basis with the police chief. You still need the blood. And the blood is still available for you. Now, I know this is sort of hard for us to, like we were talking about in Sunday school, forgiving your enemies. But the grace of God is so fantastic. I was thinking about this. If today, over in the Kremlin, Vladimir Putin got down on his knees and confessed, I am a sinner, and Jesus is a Savior, and he died for me, and he rose again, and I accept him as my personal Lord and Savior, he'd go to heaven just like we would. Now that just staggers your mind. That God's grace is so amazing and so fantastic that the most evil people in the world, if they apply the blood of the dying Lamb of God on the on the cross, they can go to heaven. You remember there in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, John sees Jesus coming, and what does he say? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It doesn't say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the Jews or of the good people, but the sin of the world. And one of the tragedies of people in hell will be for all of eternity to know Jesus died on the cross to give them a get out of jail free card, you know, in Monopoly. Get out of hell free card. Jesus died to give them that. They had it, but they didn't use it. He died for the sin of all mankind. We have to use it. We have to believe it. We have to apply it. And the blood of the Lamb makes all the difference in the world. Now here I'm going to throw in something you're not going to usually hear in a Baptist church. So if you don't want to hear it, just go ahead and put your fingers in yours. The death of Christ on the cross also brought healing. The death of Christ on the cross also brought healing. And they were to eat of that flesh. And you remember Jesus told his disciples, this is my body shed for you, take and eat. When Cecil D. DeMille made the Ten Commandments with Charles Heston, whatever his name was, he didn't get it right. Shows the Exodus, and it shows people with wooden crutches and carrying stretchers and wooden wheelchairs and all that kind of stuff coming out of Egypt. Weren't so. This is a verse that you may not know is even in the Bible, but in the book of Psalms, chapter 105, verse 37. Well, go back to 36. He smote also all the firstborn of their land and the chief of all their strength. And then verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. There wasn't anybody on crutches. There wasn't anybody in stretchers. There wasn't anybody in wheelchairs. It says, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Somehow or another, in participating in this Passover meal, the old people got new strength. The sick people got well. And you know, if you figure, you can take any population anywhere in the world, 2 or 3 million people, and say, there's got to be some sick folks. There's got to be some old folks. There got to be some folks with some problems. They twisted their knee, or they had a bad hip or whatever. But the Bible says that when they came out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person among them. That's what the Bible says. Read it for yourself, Psalm 105:37. Somehow or another, it brought healing. I think it's interesting also, one other thing here, verse 2 of chapter 12 of Exodus. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. it shall be the first month of the year to you. From that time on, that particular month began the Jewish New Year. Let me ask you a question. Didn't your life really begin the moment you got saved? Every one of us, whether we were an adult, and I've known people to get saved in their 90s and in their 70s and 60s and 50s, or whether we were a child, our life really began when we made Jesus Christ our personal Lord and Savior. Everything before that, we lived. But we were in the devil's kingdom, in the devil's power. But after that, we became children of God. After that, we had the joy of the Lord. After that, we had a feeling of forgiveness. After that, we had the indwelling Holy Spirit. Life really begins when you make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. And when you look at this picture of the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, is the beginning of our life. Now, it's sad. Growing up, when you were in school, all of you older folks, all of us older folks, we had B.C. and A.D. before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. But you know, that just ticked off a lot of the elite, the educated. And they don't use that anymore. Did you realize they don't use that anymore? They use B, C, E, or C, E, before the common era, or the common era, ERA. They're talking about now and before Jesus. But folks, Jesus is the dividing point of history. I don't care what label they put on it. Everything goes back to that cross where the Lamb of God died for your sin and my sin. And life begins at the cross. And your life begins at the cross and in the resurrection when you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And that's all that really matters. And like I said earlier, it doesn't matter whether you were that wonderful, wonderful, never did hardly a thing wrong kid, or whether you were that terrible 2, 3, 4, and 5 kid. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ make salvation available and possible for you. My prayer is that every person here that's old enough to understand knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if there's somebody here or listening to me in the parking lot or listening to me on the website, I want you to know that as Paul puts it to the Ephesians, we were dead and now we're alive. You can go from death to life by confessing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his blood for you as the Lamb of God, rose from the dead, and you choose him as your Lord and Savior. And please do that. Your eternity depends upon you doing that. And just as they could not choose anything but the Lamb, we can't just say, this road will get me to heaven, and that road will get me to heaven, and that road will get me to heaven. Sorry. The Bible says, neither is there any other name given among men whereby men must be saved but Jesus. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. There's not but one way, and that's Jesus. And I pray that every person that hears my voice knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Those of us that are Christians, just thank God for that spotless Lamb that shed his blood, that you might be protected from the devil, that you might be protected from eternal death. Thank that spotless Lamb for your healing and your blessing. And if you're listening to me and you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're in this building, would you just get up from right where you are and walk down the aisle, and I'll meet you there in a few moments and we'll talk about it. If you'd like to give your heart and life to Jesus. If you're in the parking lot, would you get out of your car in a moment and talk to one of these Barbie Grove church members as they come out the door and tell them that you want to give your heart to Jesus. If you're listening on the website, would you this day give your heart to Jesus? Then would you call me or call some other pastor? Discuss that decision. Go to church next Sunday. Make it public. Oh, Father, we thank you that from the foundation of the world and even before, you so loved that beautiful Lamb, spotless, sinless Lamb, was prepared for our salvation. Thank you for the new life that we have in Him. Thank you that in Jesus we're a new creature, a born again creature, a new creation. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your salvation. And thank you that the Holy Spirit called us to salvation. Now as we leave this place, may the Lord be with you, be gracious unto you, shine his face upon you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.